say that if one of your family members was arrested, you would still feel some sort of familial shame over that, right? So all of us then, we still feel some responsibility, at least, and some of us feel a lot of responsibility for our families. And so if we as the most individual people in the history of the world feel the familial responsibility, we need to understand that most cultures have really felt very strong ties to their family and responsibility. And that again, then in this framework, the firstborn is the representative of the family. If you bear the family name, you bear at least some responsibility for the actions of your family. And this is most true for the firstborn. Okay? So we see this, especially in the Bible. We see this with Adam. All right, here's the biblical theology of this. We see this with Adam, who's the firstborn of humanity. Now, Scripture tells us that in Adam, all have died because Adam was our representative. And so when Adam chose to sin, and sin then entered the world through Adam as our representative, rebelling against God. Adam was our federal head. He was the firstborn of humanity. He was the first representative of all humanity. And so when Adam fell into sin, then all of humanity fell with him. So in the firstborn of a family, then, we can see that all of the family can fall into debt. But also then, with the firstborn of the family, the whole family can be pulled out of a debt. Okay? We see this in Genesis 22, when God tells Abraham to take his son Isaac, the firstborn of his wife Sarah. Genesis 22:2 says, God said to Abraham, take now your son, your only son. Remember, he had Ishmael, but Ishmael was the wife of his was the son of his concubine. Isaac is his firstborn. Isaac is the representative of his family. He says, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. And if you're familiar with this story, you can be tracking with this. If you're not familiar, again, it sounds barbaric. Why would God tell him to sacrifice his firstborn son? Now, it's because he is the representative of his family. Abraham doesn't say, no, I won't do it. He gets up and makes preparations. One commentator said that if God had said to Abraham, sacrifice your wife Sarah, Abraham would have said, come again? What? That doesn't make any sense, God. But because he says, your firstborn, your son, the representative of your son, Abraham gets up and makes preparations because he understands that God is calling to bear the debt of sin that is on his family, and the firstborn can pay it. God is calling in the debt of sin of Abraham and his family, and the only one who could pay that debt was the firstborn as the representative of the family. So again, as we're moving forward here, we have lots of different principles that are coming together, but let's bring this then into Exodus 12 and the Passover. Moses calls together the elders of Israel to instruct them what to do, but also to warn them. This is the Israelites in the midst of the Passover. This is not instructions for the Egyptians. This is Moses' instructions for the Israelites. Exodus 12, 21 through 23. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and to the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. Did you catch that? The Israelites, the people of God, the people who have cried out to Yahweh to act on their behalf are told to stay in their house on that night. What this tells us is so the destroyer is not just coming to punish Pharaoh. The destroyer is coming again to call in the debt of sin of all who have lived in Egypt. That any, so Egyptian and Israelite alike, because Moses says, Israelites, do not go outside your house. Do not go out from the covering of the blood of the lamb. That anyone who is not under the covering of the blood of the lamb, their life will be forfeit. That they will have to, if they have to stand on their own without the covering, It doesn't matter their pedigree. It doesn't matter that they're Israelites. It doesn't matter that they're the people of God. It doesn't matter their heritage. That it's standing on their own without the covering of the blood of the Lamb, they will each face judgment for their sins. Unless a Passover lamb is substituted in the place, the firstborn must pay the price for the debt of sin on the whole family. The Passover lamb then is sacrificed and given to God as substitute. The blood of the innocent lamb covers the sins of the guilty family. The blood of the Passover lamb redeems the life of the firstborn, and really, it covers the sins of the family. When the destroyer sees the blood of sacrifice, he'll pass over the household, and just punishment will be withheld from that family because it fell on the lamb. In Adam, we see that in our representative, you know, our champion, the one who, you know, was supposed to represent all of humanity, has fallen into sin. And we've all fallen with him, and we've all continued his sins as we have continued to rebel against God. And with Moses then, with Abraham, first we see that the firstborn then can pay that debt of sin that we all bear. The firstborn of the family can pay the debt of the sin of the family. And then with Moses in the Passover, we see that a perfect, spotless lamb can be substituted to redeem the life of the firstborn and to cover the sins of the family. On that night of the Passover in Egypt, the angel of death, the destroyer, came through to call in the debt of sin of all who lived in Egypt, both Egyptian and Israelite. In every house that night, there was a death. There was either a dead son, a dead firstborn, or there was a dead lamb. Was a dead lamb as a substitute to redeem the life of the firstborn. So the Israelites ate their lamb that evening before the angel of death would come. And as you think, is again, Passover is the most important celebration in the nation of Israel and for the Jewish person. Every time they eat the Passover meals, they look at the lamb. Remember that this lamb gave its life to redeem the life of the firstborn. This lamb gave its life, really, for the hopes and dreams of the family. Everyone knew that the only reason on that night that their firstborn son would live was because the lamb would die in his place. The only reason that the angel of death would pass over and just judgment against them and the sins of the family was because the judgment for the sins that they deserved had been passed on the lamb. That the angel of death would pass over them as he looked upon the blood and saw their sins covered. The angel of death then would pass over their house. This is the Jewish Passover. This is the significance of the Passover lamb. Now on that night, a wail rose in Egypt as the Egyptians weren't covered by the blood of the lamb. All across the nation, the firstborn died for the sins of their family and also died to show Pharaoh and to show the Egyptians and to show the Israelites that Yahweh is God, that he's holy, and that sin must be punished. This was the final straw that then led Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. He released them from his chains of oppression because of this. This was a night of death and judgment that caused action. As we think about this, though, we don't celebrate it as the night of the death of the firstborn. We celebrate it as the night of the Passover, because this was also a night of mercy. This was also a night of forgiveness, of unmerited favor, because when the angel of death looked upon the blood on the doorposts, he passed over the houses that were covered by the blood in mercy. This Passover, then, it points ahead to a final day of judgment where we will all face judgment for our sins. But it also pointed ahead to the true Passover lamb. That the little lambs on that night were almost a placeholder for the one true lamb, for the true Passover lamb, who would lay down his life as a substitute for his family. This is, of course, Jesus, for Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. So we pull it all together, right? As we pull together, it's just God is working out his plan from the beginning. We see this throughout all of Scripture. The fact is that in Adam, all of us have died in our sins. In Adam's disobedience, sin has entered the world, and in our continued disobedience against God, refusing to live the way he has designed us to live, sin has remained in us. We each have sinned. We each have fallen short of God's standard. Just like Adam did, just like Abraham did, just like Moses did, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. As we think then, again, as the biblical narrative, when Abraham raised his arm to kill Isaac in obedience to God, God said, "Stop, do not do it. Do not let my judgment fall through your knife on that boy." God stopped him. God himself would provide a lamb to redeem the life of Isaac. For God, for Abraham, God's judgment against Abraham's sins passed over him. When the angel of death raised his arm to strike down the firstborn of Israel, he saw the blood of the lambs on the doorpost covering the sins of the Israelites. And God's judgment against the sins of the Israelites passed over their homes because of the blood of the lamb. But then, when Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, when he hung on the cross, bearing our sins, bearing my sins, bearing your sins. When the angel of death came, knife raised, to take the life of Jesus, God paid the price by turning his back in silence and not saying stop. But that judgment did not pass over Jesus, but it fell on Jesus, the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God, but who was bearing our sins. The weight of debt of sins of all mankind was laid on Jesus, and judgment did not pass over him so that it could pass over us through his blood. Jesus died so we might find eternal forgiveness for our sins, covered by the blood of the Lamb of God. We remember this not to rehash all of the things that we've done wrong again and again and again, but to remember the beauty of the gospel that Jesus paid the price for those things, and they are completely gone. Because judgment didn't pass over him. Judgment has and will pass over us. We remember this. We remember that just like the Israelites on that day were covered by the blood of the lamb in their house, that we, when God looks at us, we are covered by the blood of the lamb. Our sins are covered by Jesus Christ, and judgment will pass over us. Jesus died in our place as the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, the true Passover Lamb, the true Adam, our true representative. In Adam, all have died, and in Christ, all can be raised again to life. 1 Corinthians 15:20 through 22 tells us this, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, first fruits of those who are asleep." This is what we're going to celebrate in the few weeks on Easter. "For since by man death came, so also by a man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive." Adam was our representative, but where he fell into sin and failed, Jesus came as the true Adam, our true representative, the true firstborn son of all humanity, who then succeeded, perfectly obeyed, and submitted to the divine will, where we have failed. So that he then could be our Passover lamb, so that judgment would fall on him, so that judgment then could pass over us. This is the Passover. This is the Jewish Passover. This is the way that God has been working out in just somehow to bring sinful people back into right relationship with the holy God. And so as God has said to Abraham, stop. As God said to the sons of Israel, to the angel of death over the sons of Israel, stop. He didn't say stop to his own son, his own firstborn, so that when judgment day, when we have to stand and face judgment, God can say, my judgment passes over you because it fell on the Lamb. This is what we celebrate as Christians. This is the good news, and this is what we remember as we take communion together. So let me pray, and then we will take communion together. Dear God, I just pray again that you would seat your truth in our minds. Help us to understand just the gospel message. Help us to understand you as our righteous God. Help us to understand our need for you our need for the blood of Jesus to cover us. God, I pray that you would help each one of us to more fully understand the Passover and to fully understand your love for us shown through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.